whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Here we go. It is hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan on a college football semifinal football Friday for the ages right here. Wild card weekend tomorrow. You have stuff developing with the Cowboys. We'll talk about that coming up at 3:20 here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. General at your service. There's the Super Bowl champ, the former Cowboy scout, NFL executive Brian Broaddus. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. It is a what you drink and what you think. And Friday, we'll be taking your phone calls coming up at 5:20. Woolchuck and Schiaffalo doing some remote broadcasting this evening. Into the night with you as they are from home. I believe, Woolchuck, you're keeping your eye on a tree that's taking a beating from the weather. Might come down in your backyard, huh?
We got one that's tilting a little bit that Wifey was concerned about. I don't think ultimately it's going to be an issue. And the way that it's kind of tilted, it would just fall perfectly into the yard. It's not going to go backwards into the house. So, like, I'm not really overly concerned about it. And technically, I'm renting, so that would be my landlord's problem. So as long as it, like, didn't crush the house, I think we'd be okay, and I think we're going to be safe. I don't think this thing's going to come down because we haven't had any more snow since a couple hours ago.
We're about to be joined by one of the players on the Longhorns. The last time they were at the top of the mountain, you know, 2005 there, Quan Cosby was a freshman out of Mart, Texas. And he played on that team. He was still involved in 08, the last time Texas and Ohio State played in a major bowl. That was the Fiesta Bowl, caught the game-winning touchdown. How similar is this setup to what we experienced, you know, 15, 20 years ago as far as, you know, these Longhorns and dominance?
Ooh. Well, I mean, I think Colt probably better than Quinn, but both of them were very they played a lot of games at that point. I mean, that was Colt's his junior year, and that Texas squad had beaten Oklahoma 45-35, and then the BCS decided, okay, we're going to have Oklahoma end up playing Alabama that year. So Texas lost to Tech with that Michael Crabtree catch, so they ended up getting slated to play at the Fiesta Bowl. OU went and got beat by Florida in the national championship game. But I think when you look at the line of scrimmage, there's some similarities between the two. Texas had a really good veteran offensive line. The defense probably has more talent on this Texas team than it did that Texas team. They've always had pretty good secondaries anytime they're good. They used to be DBU back in the days of Michael Huff and Michael Griffin and Cedric Griffin and Harris and a bunch of those dudes. So they're kind of back there now with Jahdae Barron and Makuba and Muhammad on the other side. Like, they got guys that are going to be NFL players. But I think you could say this Texas team probably more talented than that 08 team that beat Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl.
Neither one of these teams, if you go back and look at history and now have, you know, the dominant offense that you would hope. You know, obviously Vince Young was quite a player there in 05 and was a force of nature. But I feel like tonight, if the Longhorns are going to get this done, they need a great defensive effort to slow down that Ohio State offense.
Yeah, I think this game is going to – there's a couple different factors, but how Ohio State, they've got the ability to run the football. Their quarterback, though, Howard, is playing really, really well.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's been times where he hasn't played well. And so, you know, these last two playoff games have been a big factor in him and given Ohio State a really good chance to win this thing tonight.
Well, let me just refresh your memory here. Quan Cosby grew up in Mart, Texas, excelled in football, basketball, baseball, and track. An amazing
Heck
athlete.
Of a player, yeah.
State champ as a quarterback. Went to play baseball in the Angels organization before coming back to the Longhorns. 05-08, national champion, caught the game-winning touchdown against Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl, and Quan Cosby joining us now here on 105.3 The Fan. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm pretty dang good. The Longhorns are in the Final Four, so just pulled up to the stadium. Sorry about the delay.
No worries.
We get too many spam calls these days. But, man, I'm fired up. I'm happy for the Horns, and not many are giving us a chance, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah. What do you think of that? I mean, nearly a touchdown spread between the Longhorns and Ohio State. Do you think that's fair? Have you recovered yet from the end of that Arizona State game?
Man, it's funny you asked that. I think it actually took me about a week to truly recover. And after the game, we just went to the hotel bar. I needed sleep for the next 5 days. I was pretty jacked up after that game, but fired up because of this opportunity. And really, the way we know the world we live in now, Ohio State looked as good as anyone in the last couple of weeks, and we, you know, went into double overtime with Arizona State. So I respect what they did, and selfishly, I appreciate it even more because I think these guys, I think it's going to add a little more chip, you know, on their shoulder. I think it was the first game they've been the dogs this year, and I think they need it. It's a long season. Just any little extra you can get and use it, and I know Sark talked about it, I think the players will respond. So I think it's fair. At the same time, one of the funny things is all the national folks talk about is, oh, well, Texas is this, and they're not that. My argument is we haven't been as consistent, and yet we're here.
Yeah.
So if we play a complete game, if we play even 50, 60, 70% better, Ohio State is in trouble. So I'm fired up about that perspective, and both rosters are unreal, and I think it's going to be quite a battle.
Texas legend Quan Cosby with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Quan, I'm sure we can preview this game all day, but I do want to go back to 2009, and it's wild to think the last time these storied programs faced, it was you, sir. 14 catches, 171, and the game-winning touchdown, one of two touchdowns. What do you remember from what was one of the best Fiesta Bowls I think we've ever seen?
Man, they were, speaking of, you know, talented, you had Benny Wells. I told a few buddies that I was with, that last touchdown, number one's chasing me. Well, that number one is now the coaching for Notre Dame going into the national championship. Marcus Freeman was a great linebacker on that Ohio State team also. And so, fun fact there. But it's always a fun game. Like, even going back to 05 when we beat them in Columbus for the first time, night game in a while.
Yeah.
So you got two hardcore blue bloods. And then they came to Austin and insane, very passionate fan bases. So just a fun deal. It's weird, to your point, that it's been that long since we played each other, but no better time than now because we've been doubted. Let's be real. They've been doubted. And but yet we're both here. Dallas is, I see a lot of red and silver, but I see even more burnt orange. So it's going to be fun to see the teams go at it. We know the storylines. Quinn going there, coming back. It's just, this is what college football is about. It's no better kind of way for the first playoff to end up like this with these level, you know, caliber schools and teams. So I'm fired up to see how it plays out.
Hey, Quan, being a former receiver there, the challenge, though, that the Ohio State receivers face, that they're going to have to face with the Texas secondary, can you kind of walk us, when you see your secondary play, you know, how do you feel like that they'll match up with these very, very talented Ohio State wide receivers?
Man, you know what? We talk a lot about DBU, and I think they're receiver you. I mean, the guys that have come out of Ohio State in the last few years, another guy I played against, their receivers coach, Ohio State.
Yeah, Brian Hartline.
He had a great career there. Hartline, I played against him as well. He's done an unbelievable job with that crew. And so to add to the storyline, you have the Thorpe winner and the Biletnikoff guy going, you know, to a certain degree. I do like our I don't know that they've seen a secondary like ours, and I don't know that we've seen a receiving group like theirs. We have the best O-lineman. They have the best D-lineman. So you can't make this stuff up for good on good, and that's why you play the game, though. When you're at this moment, and at this point you're the last of three left, you're going to play the best. And schematically, PK has done a really, really good job. You take away the double overtime craziness of last week and Scataboo having like this insane Superman whole game. UT was the number one defense in the country until then. They're now number two. So our secondary schematically, I think they're going to try their best. You can't, in my opinion, you can't stop the receiving core. But if you contain them, keep them from the insane explosive plays. And then our defense is at its best when you get in that red zone. Not that you want to get down there, sure, but they really tighten up in that zone. And I feel like there's no better team set up to slow that crew down than ours, but it's still going to be a tall task because they're special.
Quan, how clinched are you going to be if this thing comes down to a Texas field goal late in the game?
Oh, my God. So you're going to go there? My blood pressure went up when you said that. Unfortunately, and it's not beating up on a kid, but you're just being honest. I am saying a nice little prayer that it does not come to a field goal because just the confidence level right now is not good. We did go into two overtimes, but Quinn got us down there to the 20-yard line, tripped over himself, put him in the middle of the field, and we found a way to not, you know, go into overtime after that. So you, being an ex-player and all the above, unless you have even this year, Justin Tucker, I'm not sure about, but maybe Cameron Dicker. Unless you have Cameron Dicker from this year, you don't want that moment. You want to be in it and have a chance to win, but I'm going to be I'm going to invoice University of Texas for my blood pressure if it comes down to that. I'm going to tell you that much.
It's Quan Cosby here with you on The Fan. What needs to happen early in tonight's game offensively to give you confidence that you can continue to put points on the board against this Buckeyes defense?
Easy, man. We're sitting here at Jerry's World, and Micah Parsons is arguably one of the best in the league right now. But Micah Parsons, when you run it down his throat, that's where he seems a little bit vulnerable. That D-line, that as good as they are, you go back to the Michigan game, they ran the ball. You know, they were in Monterey Mono, got that, and that balance is super important. Quinn gets, you know, because he has a Manning behind him, he doesn't get the love he needs all the time, but even Quinn is as special as I think he can be and is going to have a great career. When you have a balance, you have Weisner and Blue running the ball, that's how you just soften the defense up just a little bit. And then the receiving core, because, yes, Ohio State, give them their due. I think they have probably the best collective receiving group, or at least certainly the top guy. We have a pretty good one as well. So when you get when you run the ball, if we run for, in my opinion, you run for 100, 150, I think Ohio State's going to have a long day because then it's going to open up things that we can do because we do have an explosive offense as well. So run the ball early, kind of get things rolling, fill them out, see what they're doing. Slow that pass rush down. What Oregon did when they got down two touchdowns, I said, they're going to have a long night because that D-line just, I mean, they just ate after that, knowing that you had to throw it to come back. So I think you run the ball, and we have Banks and an O-line that I think can get it done, then I think you're going to see one heck of a game.
Quan, you guys got screwed over back in 08 with the BCS. Now, Sooner fans listening won't agree, but they would be wrong on that. How much more do you like this college football playoff setup?
Oh, man. First of all, them Sooner fans, don't get me started on them. They got lucky as all get out. We beat them 45-35 down the street at the real Cotton Bowl. But I love it. And that's what I'm saying. I love it because in the end, you talk about NIL, you talk about the playoff, and many are concerned about the small school. If we're honest about what college football is, name the last smaller school that won a national championship. It's not a lot of them. The last one that actually got there was Oregon, and they played the Buckeyes here in Jerry's World, and that didn't go very well with Zeke. So I love it because those scenarios, you take it out. And then we have no argument. We're in the playoff. We're probably in a very similar, you know, schedule seeding as Texas was this year, and then you got to win. And then growing up in Texas, that's what you do. You get to the playoffs, you win your games, you be the better team that day or night, and then you have no argument. So I just think it takes a lot of that out of it. Now, I do think there needs to be some tweaks with, we saw what happened with all the conference champions, but I think there needs to be a little bit of tweaks, but it's still, everybody in this point won the games they needed to, no matter by 50 or by, you know, double overtime, and it just takes a lot of the argument out, and it's a true playoff versus what I called a selection. And you got a bunch of talking heads in a room selecting teams. Come on now. That's always a pain, and you know what.
I love it here with Quan Cosby in the G-Bag Nation, home of the Cowboys. He just pulled up to the stadium getting set to watch his Longhorns take on Ohio State tonight. Now, what do you think of being in the SEC here?
You know, I'm so glad you asked that because, one, I was a Big 12 guy and I wasn't a fan of the move. I do understand the move, and I do also feel like the playoff that we are dealing with now, or that we are fortunate enough to have now, had a lot to do with the conference realignment. So I think if going through the SEC push that to happen, perfect. It was exactly what we needed to do. The irony, though, is, you know, before we got in the SEC, oh, my gosh, they're going to get killed. Watch out. It's going to get ugly. We get there. We get to the championship game. Oh, well, this, you know, the SEC's down this year. So they're moving the goalposts, by the way. But yeah. I think it's cool for me, especially as a fan now. I've been to every Big 12 city there is. So now that I can, you know, I'm travel to Athens next year, God willing, all the different things. It's fun. And I won't argue this. The worst SEC team hits different. You know, they have some dudes. They may not have a complete team and may have a 500 year, but they can do it. They hold the ball like Vandy did, or, you know, Arkansas, or the teams, or Arkansas did versus Tennessee, Kentucky did versus Georgia. You have to come to play every week, and that's what I do appreciate about it. That's a lot of really good. And last but not least, when I was in the Big 12, it drove me crazy to hear it means more, because I'm like, kiss my butt. It don't mean more. We care. But when it comes to a fan base, when it comes to those college towns, it's the fan base they're talking about, not necessarily the guys, you know, on the field. And I won't argue that at all. I've been to these stadiums and going to go to some more. And I'm telling you, man, it does mean more in every way, form, or fashion. Whether the game is at 7 p.m. or 11 a.m., they're tailgating at 7 a.m. And so that doesn't happen in all the Big 12 cities. So it's cool. It's fun. It's exciting seeing these guys going against the Georgia, you know, getting to the championship game. So I'm fired up about it. And as much as we're talking about football, I'm fired up about it for baseball more than anything.
Yeah.
We all know what that is. I was talking to a buddy earlier, and he said, yeah, man, y'all number 7 in the nation, but you picked 5th in the SEC. And so it's real in that league as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun for Longhorn Nation being in the SEC.
If you could have done anything different, do you wish you'd have played baseball for Texas, or where would you take that question?
You know, that's a great question. I would have absolutely loved to play baseball for Texas. The only thing, I have this little thing called a national championship that trumped any decision that I would have thought differently about. I think the route I took, man, one, I pray about all my decisions, and I think that they went exactly like they needed to, but I would have loved to play at Dish Falk. We have, honestly, one of the most storied and successful programs in the history of college sports. And so it would have been cool to play for them and Augie. But playing for Coach Brown, who's a Hall of Famer as well, and that little game in Rose Bowl, it's hard to think I would do anything differently after being a part of that.
Well, hell of a career, hell of a job with the analysis here. He's at QCosby17 if you want to follow on X. Any other ways for us to track your content or keep up with you that you'd like to let us know about before we let you go?
Man, y'all are so good at that stuff, and I am not. So you did the best job right there. And people are even getting mad at me. They're like on Instagram, why is it private? I was like, man, I don't get on there that much. I'm just looking at pictures. So, no, I love that you interact with everyone, the fans, the strangers, you name it, on Twitter, because it's just cool when it's a positive thing. And I appreciate you saying that, and certainly you having me on. And, man, I think y'all should get ready. Great game last night, by the way. Yeah. And I'm hoping the same tonight with the Longhorns hopefully being on top.
Well, thank you, sir. Enjoy the game, and we'll look to catch up with you soon.
Hey, take care, man. Hook 'em.
Salute. There he goes, Quan Cosby right here, a proper Longhorns legend, one of the greatest athletes in state history, joining us here in the G-Back Nation. Okay, it's time to hit the C-note, and before we get there, we'll give you the latest on the plans for the wild card weekend in Los Angeles that there's some breaking news on. We're coming back with that and more right here to the G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan. All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Time to hit the C-note. Cowboys news of the evening. There's news out of the NFL, though, with the Rams game. And segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, the Cardinals sent in two of their planes. They got a couple 777s, 777s heading to L.A. They're going to pick up the Rams, its staff, and their families, plus 6 dogs and 2 cats, Chief. I'm sure you can appreciate that. Herbie must be on the jet.
Unbelievable, dude. Yeah. I'd be requesting a seat as far away from the animals as possible.
It is getting pretty crazy how many animals are on some of these flights. It's like one every other row, it seems, damn near sometimes. Cardinals are turning over their training facility for the evacuated Rams as well to use in advance of their Monday night game against the Vikings at State Farm Stadium. So there is the latest on that, if you were wondering. And, you know, that should be, you know, one of those, you know, games with a chance for an upset. The Vikings only a 3-point favorite and on the road to the Rams, who are pretty salty. That's a 14-3 record against a 10-7 record. That would be painful if you're Minnesota. But that's what happens when you can't wrap up the division. OK, Dak's contract is going viral. The cap hit for next year scheduled at $89.9 million. If they max restructure it, it goes to $52.5 million. Spotrac was tweeting about this, kind of sent it out into Cowboys Twitter, got people talking about it. Steven talked with us about this last week and said their issue now, it was a great question from Broadus, if you want to go back. I know several stories were written about it. They've already pushed so much of Dak's contract into the future. Now you really can't get the number low enough to be that manageable. I mean, the lowest you can get it is $52.5 million. You know, I think it does make it pretty obvious at this point, you know, especially in light of the injury, should have taken the chance to move on. I mean, how you think you're going to build a champion with all of this backloaded money now accelerating against the cap? Let me ask you this question, though, guys. Should they restructure it or should they just eat the additional $37 million they could free up and use 2025 as a year to sort of start to cleanse the salary cap palette? They have $15 million cap space right now. You can do your offseason. You can sign your draft class and pick up a couple of scrub linebackers, you know?
Yeah.
I think that is the move that would get you closest to a championship, but you really have to be willing to sacrifice the 2025 season and the chances of making the playoffs, which are pretty slim as it is. What do you guys think?
I'd be totally open to it. I mean, obviously, we know that they won't be open to it. But yes, I certainly would be because, as you mentioned, whether that cap hit for Dak is $50 million or $90 million, they're not going to be winning a Super Bowl. And what are they even going to do? They restructure that deal. They get the cap hit lower. And then they still do nothing. Right, it's not like they're going to be like, hey, if we keep Dak at $90 million, we can't do anything in free agency. But if we restructure it, we can go make it rain a little bit. They won't be doing that either. So I would have no problem if they decided to just keep it at 89.
I wonder if it's, hey, you're getting the Micah deal done with some of that money, and maybe that they can do that regardless. But it is interesting. My initial gut feeling was like, no, because I know they're going to restructure it. But it does kind of make some sense maybe to just let's try and get this thing. Because I don't know. They say that every year is worse than the other, and I don't see an end in sight. Like, I don't see light at the end of the tunnel here for the Cowboys. Maybe that would create it if they just don't go ahead and keep restructuring.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was getting at. Like, how do you create that light at the end of the tunnel? You know, it could be trading Micah Parsons. It could be biting the bullet on a huge portion of Dak's cap hit now. So maybe 26 and 27. Could be freed up because this it's not coming down in a meaningful way.
It's an interesting plan. I don't know all the things that would go into that. I really thought this was the year that they were going to move on from the quarterback and the head coach.
Yeah,
I really did. I thought this was a clean the decks year. You know, they're gonna say, okay, we're gonna start new here, and they did completely the opposite of what I thought they were.
They don't clean their deck.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I thought maybe you say that. And I for when the Dak signing wasn't getting done quick enough, I kind of felt like that they've made the decision they're going to move on from this guy. Yeah. They're going to move on from this coach. And you're right, Chief. They have it.
It's one of the reasons the Saints moved on from Drew Brees. You know, he was still playing well enough, but they had pushed back so much money that it was just impossible to do another contract. Yeah. And even if you want to spread that out, they knew. Like, I can't imagine the Cowboys knowing how bad this cap situation was going to get, deciding to do that other contract. I mean, if you couldn't get the job done with the offensive line and things lined up like they were in Dak's athletic prime – Now on the other side of it, I think we might look back and it could you know, be one of the worst decisions they've ever made. Okay, hopefully the Hall of Fame voters, all 50 of them or 49 of them or whatever, can figure it out with Darren Woodson. Calvin Watkins with a piece on what his chances are. The three-time finalist in his 17th year of eligibility. One of the top stories, guys, how nauseating would this be, is if Eli Manning gets in first ballot instead of Woody. Wouldn't that just twist the knife on the Cowboys a little bit too much?
Be disgusting.
Yeah, it'd be awful. But I guess that's the quarterback thing, man. And
guys,
and they
a 500 quarterback.
Yep, a 500
he's a
quarterback.
He's a 500 quarterback with two Super Bowl wins. That's
but he's got the two Super Bowl wins, and he's got a good last name. And in those two Super Bowl wins, he beat the greatest to ever do it in Tom Brady. Yeah. And one of them was slaying a perfect team. So, like, there's a lot of stuff that I think sentimentally these voters are going to get into. It's ridiculous, though. I mean, to have Eli Manning get in over Darren Woodson would absolutely be. And I think this might be Woody's last year before he ends up having to come back as, like, one of those senior nominees.
Yeah, the senior nominees is never an – you know, the one thing I know is Rick Goslin, though, as a voter for the seniors, does a great job of rallying – you know, Rayfield Wrights and the Bob Hayeses and guys like that. So that's something. But, yeah, Woody, I've said this a bunch, and if you're new to the program, I'll say it again. I was with Leroy Butler in Green Bay, and I was with Darren Woodson. Darren Woodson is a better safety than Leroy Butler, and Leroy Butler's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And I try not to disrespect Leroy Butler. There's a lot of really nice things he did in Green Bay, but he was not a good player as Darren Woodson when it came to an overall, you know, safety, cover guy, special teams guy, all those things that Darren Woodson never came off the field.
Yeah.
So, you know, unfortunately, though, you know, we're having to hear this of him trying to fight his way in. But, you know, when you talk about the John Lynches and Leroy Butlers and stuff like that, Darren Woodson was a far better player than those two gentlemen.
You're also starting to deal with a backlog of wide receivers, including a Torrey Holt and Steve Smith and Reggie Wayne among the eligible players. So it's tough sledding. I'm not going to act like the Hall of Fame has it you know, easy trying to figure out who the best of the best are. But it doesn't seem right that Woody's still not in there. Cowboys have one first-team AP All-Pro and a couple of second-teamers. Salute to Kevontae Turpin getting the job done. He also got the recognition from the Players Association. That was cool. Brandon Aubrey, your second-team kicker. I don't think there's a better kicker for my money in the entire world. And congrats to CeeDee Lamb for getting on the second team as well. All righty, there's a C-note for you. Some of the headlines that are getting kicked around for the Cowboys. Coming up next, it's time for Krusty's Corner. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, I'm going to give you some more thoughts again from the playoff weekend of the NFL. I got some interesting nuggets for you. We'll do those next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Back Nation here, 105.3 The Fan. Nick Harris, Star Telegram, talking Cowboys offseason, talking college football playoffs with him coming up at 4 o'clock. Time now for Krusty's Corner. Here's Broadus.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate you saying that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, yesterday I went through just really fortunate with the Cowboys and the association I have with them, or the partnership we have with them, that they do a program with their next gen stuff that the teams get that's completely different from what the outside folks who look at next gen stats, what they get. They get all these kinds of different breakdowns and little nuggets and stuff. And I always like to go through and try and kind of find in these games what could be the difference in maybe a team winning or losing. So it's been a lot of fun to kind of be a little bit of a nerd and look at these numbers. I've never been that kind of a guy, but I do enjoy when it comes to these numbers now.
You're a cooking nerd, I feel like.
I am a cooking nerd. You're right.
Yep.
I could sit down and watch YouTube videos. Matter of fact, I do the premium to avoid I pay the $30 a month for the subscription just so I don't have to watch commercials on the cooking stuff.
They'll interrupt you too much on the tube there. I'm with you.
I thought I was the only one that thought that.
No, it's way too much. Before and after, you know, in the middle, they'll start running these ads on you in the middle. You know, you start watching YouTube on a non-premium account, it'll put the brakes on the fun.
Let me ask you guys this real quick, though. Okay, since you talked about the ads.
Yeah.
When you have a YouTube channel, are there ads on that too? Like when I'm doing work, if you and I were to do a podcast together,
yeah,
and it's on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
Is it the commercials play throughout the podcast?
They'll play in the beginning, the middle, and the end, depending on how long they are. And
Will we get paid for that?
Once you get monetized, yeah. Yeah. You can absolutely get paid. A couple of hundred, maybe a couple $1,000 a month if you're really killing it.
Okay. But I just didn't know if it interrupted people. Like you and I are talking about, like, you're telling me about all about crypto and like, hey, we need to buy this and da da da. And then all of a sudden they run an ad for Whataburger or something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Stop right in the middle of the video.
Right in the middle of the video.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I got to tell you, I do love a well-timed Whataburger ad, though. Just to
I absolutely love Whataburger. I mean, I was not making light of them.
I know you weren't.
But I just was saying, I just didn't know how that really kind of worked, all that. But
it's bad with the kids because all of a sudden they're like zoned in on it and the ads come and here ends up being crying. You know, it's like, oh, my gosh, where'd Miss Rachel go or whatever the heck she's watching, the sensory dancing fruits. What happened?
Yeah, they get confused. Okay.
The kids do not know what to do with commercials these days. It's hilarious.
No. First time my three-year-old ever cussed, dude. I was like, that was a worth it F-bomb. I would have been pissed too.
Where'd you learn that, honey?
Like I say, with the premium stuff, I just never see them anymore. So I didn't know on podcasts if all of a sudden people are like, you know, you're making a point, and then all of a sudden they break into something, and then does it come back to right where the point was?
Yeah.
Okay.
And usually it's only 10, 15 seconds, something like that.
Okay. Well, as long as everybody's getting paid on the deal, that's cool. All right. Let's talk about some of these things on the next gen side of the little nuggets that I was going through the breakdown for these games. Let's start with the Green Bay Packers at Philadelphia. Okay, this is a matchup that the next gen folks are saying to watch. This is Jaden Reed versus Cooper DeJean. And the reason they say this one is because Jordan Love, the first time two teams met was in week one of the NFL season. You remember that was in Brazil. And Jordan Love completed 3 of 5 passes when targeting Jaden Reed in the slot for 129 yards and a touchdown. He completed just 14 of 29 other passes for 131 yards and a touchdown and an interception. So Jaden Reed was a factor for him in this football game. The Eagles' defense struggled to defend the slot during their first four games when Maddox was their primary nickel.
Yeah.
Allowing the second most per targets, nine targets and 5 touchdowns. That's tied for the most. Since then, Cooper DeJean has been put in the lineup and since he's taken over as the nickel. And that's after the Eagles week 5 bye. They've allowed just 5.2 yards per slot target in week 6 through 18. That's 1.2 yards fewer than any other defense in the league. It's amazing, guys, how much this Cooper DeJean has made in this Eagles second. I think him and Mitchell have been a reason why their defense. Remember this time last year we were talking about how bad the Eagles secondary was.
Yeah.
They put two rookies. They put two rookies in the lineup, and really they made the change out of necessity because Maddox wasn't giving them anything, and this Cooper DeJean has come in and been a stud for them playing. So keep an eye on the matchup with Jaden Reed and Cooper DeJean and see if Jordan Love can maybe take advantage of the situation or, in fact, that they're going to get shut down in that slot.
It's a huge matchup because if DeJean can't handle it by himself, then you're going to be looking at help to prevent the yak from Reed.
Yeah.
And if I think that's, you know, got to be one of the matchups that's going to determine the level of success that Green Bay has. If they want to win the game, they got to, you know, find ways to get the ball in his hands and get separation from DeJean, which is easier said than done. I think team building wise, what the Eagles did is comparable to what the Cowboys did when they got Diggs and Parsons and the pendulum swung in the Cowboys direction. Yeah. But whiffing on two first rounders in a row pretty much and having the Eagles hit on these guys after missing on some of their Georgia guys has really put the ball in the Eagles' court.
Sets you back tremendously, especially when you're a team that's all about the draft. I will say, just watching like the replay that they've had from week one, Packers-Eagles, anytime Reed was able to get matched up in some way, shape, or form with Reed Blankenship, he dominated.
The safety, yeah.
Just dominated that matchup. So I'm sure Matt LaFleur will be hunting that one.
I know when I was talking about the Philadelphia Eagles, when I was breaking down the matchup for you guys, I think the Eagles had not had an interception from their cornerbacks all their interceptions had come from their safeties.
Wow. Yeah, this guy's incredible.
Yeah. So
his awareness in zone, his ability to play at the line of scrimmage, yeah, just a special player. It's amazing they didn't go to him sooner.
Yeah, absolutely right. All right, the Commanders at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The title of this one is Outside the Pocket Efficiency, okay? Outside the Pocket Efficiency here. This comes down to Baker Mayfield. He completed 34 of his 47 passes outside the pocket for 406 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 1 interception this season. That's good for the highest completion percentage on such passes in a season in the next-gen stat era. That's 72.3% of passes completed outside the pocket. However, Mayfield threw outside the pocket just 10% of his attempts this season. That's the fourth lowest rate in the NFL. Here's the matchup. The Commanders have allowed the fifth lowest completion percentage, 42%, and the fourth fewest yards per attempt, 5.3, on passes thrown from outside the pocket this season. So here's Baker Mayfield. You know, likes to get rid of the ball, likes to try and, you know, all about quick, kind of a rhythm passer with his guys. But he gets outside the pocket, he seems to have some success. Let me go back to this with you guys. Is Baker Mayfield going to have to make some throws in this game against the Commanders? And would it give you some pause to think that maybe that's a bad idea because of how well the Commanders play outside the pocket?
If I'm coming into this game and I'm Tampa, I'm thinking we want to run all over them. We've done a hell of a job here maybe for the last month of the season on the ground. I think 180 yards in the final four games of the season on the ground. So I'm looking to run Washington into favorable defensive looks for us and then take my shots there.
Yeah, 100%. I do think this is going to be a high-scoring affair, but especially with the status of that Bucs defense and all the injuries that they've had, mm-hmm. and we saw firsthand when they came to AT&T Stadium and Cooper Rush was dicing them up. Mm-hmm. You want to keep Jaden Daniels off the field as much as possible, and Bucky Irving's been a super beast. Rashad White, of course. But, I mean, I certainly trust Baker Mayfield. And the matchup with Lattimore getting the green light to play, mm-hmm. Marshawn Lattimore, Mike Evans going toe-to-toe, just like when it was Tampa and New Orleans for all those years,
right.
That's going to be a ton of fun, but I think this is going to be a super high scoring game, and I think Jaden Daniels is going to go berserk. I would expect Baker Mayfield to have a really nice game as well, and it'll be a fun difference between that middle of the day game, Green Bay and Filthy, which mm-hmm. I think will be more of a defensive struggle kind of game, both defenses playing really, really well. And then that night game, I think, is going to be a fireworks show.
Be a great matchup with those two rookies, Jalen McMillan at receiver, and then Sandra Still, the corner for Washington. Because you're right, you got Evans and Lattimore. Those guys know each other. And then now you got a rematch of that college football national championship, the Michigan and Washington kids going at it. But I think Baker Mayfield might have to steal some first downs with his legs, and he's very capable of doing that. Him running could also be big.
Yeah, I like what you're saying with those angles for sure. All right, Minnesota at the Rams. We all know now Gavin told us this game is going to be played in Glendale, Arizona on Monday night. Here's the story. The Vikings pressured Matthew Stafford on just 12% of his dropbacks in week 8. That's the fifth lowest by any defense in a game this season and the lowest by any Viking defense since at least 2018. The Vikings did not record a single pressure on any of their 12 blitzes in that game. When not under pressure, Stafford completed 21 of 30 attempts for 259 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Something has got to change here for the Vikings. Do you feel like that they need to find a way to maybe blitz him more in this game? Or are they going to take their chances again and saying that was just a fluky game for him?
I think they've got to sell out. I think they've got to sell out and try and get pressure on Stafford, and also doing so try and stop the run. Because if I'm Sean McSex and I'm watching the way Jahmyr Gibbs just toasted him on Sunday night to win the division, I'm thinking, Kyren Williams, not only when it comes to out of the backfield, but just running the rock. I really, really like that advantage for the Rams. I think this is a tough matchup for Minnesota. I don't know mentally like where the Rams are. It's hard to be able to put yourself in that situation with everything they're dealing with their homes, their families. Now they're not even playing at home. They're having to fly and practice in Arizona. That's a lot to deal with leading up to a wild card game. So if the Rams, everything, they play their best game, I think they're going to knock off the Vikings.
If I'm the Vikings, I'm leaning on my run defense, and the individual that I've had success with is Grenard. How do I say that name?
Yeah,
the pass rusher. You know, I'm just going to let him work and try to wreck the game. We'll maybe, you know, think about dialing some stuff up in the fourth quarter, but I like our chances as long as we don't give up big plays over the top. And like selling out pressure against a veteran like Stafford can get you murked, Chief.
Yeah, good call. I mean, they didn't pressure him for squat in that first matchup.
No, not at all.
So I think knowing Brian Flores the way we do, he's a guy that'll just put you in man coverage and send the dogs. I could see him pivoting to that, because you have to pressure Stafford if you want a chance.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the Jeepback Nation. We're less than an hour from Will Chambers joining us from the stadium. We'll talk Ohio State, Texas with him. We were talking in the opening segment. Chambers was listening, said, "Do not bet this game until you hear from me at 4:40. So I'm standing by for that. Nick Harris, Star Telegram, is next here in the Nation.